Amen. If you have your Bible this morning and want to read with me, we're going to be reading from the book of Hebrews. So I would ask that you turn over to the book of Hebrews this morning, and we're going to be reading from the 10th chapter. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." And I'm going to stop right there this morning, ask if you bow your heads, and let's pray and ask the Lord for his help and for his anointing in ministering his word. Heavenly Father, we are thankful today that we have an opportunity to gather here in the house of the Lord. Thank you for all of these that have come and for these that are here in our presence this morning. I would ask, Heavenly Father, that you would add a blessing to the reading of your holy word. Father, I pray that you will enable me to be an effective instrument in ministering and sharing the word that you have put in my heart. I pray for the anointing of God that you would touch me and put your thoughts in my mind and your words in my mouth, that you would let them come forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit with clarity and with simplicity and with understanding. I ask, Lord, that you would glorify Christ, that you would edify the body of Christ through the words that are spoken here today. I ask, Lord, that your will be accomplished in everything that is said and in everything that is done. And Lord, for all of these things, we will forever give you the praise. We will forever give you the thanks. And we ask him in the mighty and wonderful name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. So I want to title my message this morning, The Christmas Story as Told by Jesus. The Christmas Story as Told by Jesus. And as I begin this morning, I would like to present a question to you that maybe we have never stopped to consider. Perhaps we have never thought about it. But what do you suppose was on the mind of Jesus the night that he was born? What do you suppose his side of the Christmas story would be like? If we asked Jesus this morning to tell us his side of the story of his birth, what would it sound like? What might it sound like? We know the Christmas story according to Matthew and Luke. We know, of course, about the angels that came and heralded his coming, how they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We know about the shepherds as they were amazed, watching their sheep by night and watching their flocks by night. And the Word of God tells us that suddenly there was this great heavenly light that shone round about them, and a multitude of angelic hosts that began to sing and began to testify to them that Christ was born in Bethlehem. We know all about the decree of Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be taxed, or the known world at that time. And that's why Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem in the first place. We know of the Virgin Mary's visit from the Holy Spirit, and how that holy thing that she conceived in her body was the seed of the Holy Spirit, and that she would bring forth a son, and the angel testified to her that you will call his name Jesus. We've heard all of those things. We know how Joseph, the Bible said, privately thought upon these things when he found out that his fiancée, or the woman that he was about to marry, was with child. Joseph, I have always said, is the unsung hero of Christmas. Hello? We know all about the room. There was no room for them in the inn. We know about the manger and how that they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and lay him in literally a feed trough, which is, amen, very symbolic, because he is the Word. He is the one that feeds our spirit. Can you say amen? We have heard of the wise men that followed the star. We've heard about Herod's evil plan to kill the children and the Christ child. We know the Christmas story according to Matthew. We know the Christmas story according to Luke. But could there be this morning a part of the Christmas story that we have not stopped to consider? What about the Christmas story as told by Jesus? What was on the Savior's mind the night that he was born? What might that story sound like from his perspective? And I know what you're thinking, because when the Lord began to put this message upon my heart, I thought the same thing. How in the world could we know? Do any of you remember your thoughts on the day or the night that you were born? Many of us can't remember last week, much less what we thought on the night that we were born. How could we know what he was thinking? How could we know the mind of Christ as he came into this world? Amen. When we cannot remember the thoughts in our own mind, amen, at our birth. And I submit to you this morning that he did not begin in Bethlehem. Our birth was our beginning, but he did not begin in Bethlehem. The Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark both begin with the story of his birth, and they both dwell in depth upon the Bethlehem experience. But if you are a student of the Bible this morning, you will remember and you will recall that the Gospel of St. John goes much farther back than just his earthly birth. I'm going to ask you to turn there this morning. Amen. To 1 John chapter 1, or John chapter 1, verse 1. It is the first book, or the first verse of the book of John. John chapter 1, verse 1. I want you to see it with me, with your eye. This is what the scripture says in John 1 and 1. It says, in the beginning. When? The beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same, the Word. The Word who was with God and was God was in the beginning. The same was in the beginning with God. He says in verse 2, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now look down in verse 14. Same chapter, same book, verse 14. And the Word who was in the beginning and was with God and was God, The Word, verse 14 says, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. These verses this morning are important to us because they reveal to us that the Word of God, who was with God in the very beginning and was God in the very beginning, we would come to know him as the Son of God. He would come from heaven in a robe of flesh and dwell among men. Emmanuel with us. God is with us. God himself stepped into a robe of flesh, came to planet Earth, amen, and was born to be a man just like you and I. Amen. But I'm telling you, that was not his beginning. He existed eternally with God the Father. The Christmas story only marks the human birth of the Lord Jesus. It does not mark the beginning of his existence. He existed as the Word of God from eternity past, and he will be here in eternity future. Can you say amen? Amen. The Jews asked Jesus one day. They were giving Christ a hard time, giving the Lord a hard time. And Jesus said, if you knew God, if God was your Father, then you would know who it was that sent me. And they said, we have Abraham as our father. And Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. And they said, we know now that you are a maniac, because you are not yet even 50 years old, and you're telling us that you have seen Abraham? And listen what Jesus says to them in John chapter 8 and verse number 58. He said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you that before Abraham was, before Abraham was ever born, I am. Amen. Do you remember what God said to Moses as he stood at the burning bush? I am that I am. When Jesus said this to them, you know, the Bible said that they picked up rocks and they were about to have a rock concert in his honor. They were about to stone him, but he just simply, amen, just disappeared from their visible eye, walked right through them and right on out of the crowd. What I'm telling you this morning is his birth was not his beginning. His birth was not his beginning. He existed in eternity, amen, eternity past. So I ask again the question, while we may not be able to remember our thoughts as we were born, or the night that we were birthed, or the day that we were birthed, we may not remember our thoughts. That was our beginning. But I ask again, what could have been upon his mind? What could have been upon his heart as he was birthed into this world? We know all of the Christmas story according to Matthew and Luke, but could there be a side of the story that we have not yet considered? And I'm here to tell you this morning that the answer may surprise you, because the text that we have read this morning gives us an answer and gives us some insight into our question. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 5 and verse number 7 is both a prayer and a declaration of purpose made by the eternal Son of God as he stepped out of heaven and entered into this world through a virgin's womb. Our text is ultimately the Christmas story according to Jesus. It is here in our text that we get from the lips of the Lord his side of the Christmas story. His side of the Christmas story as he was birthed into this world nearly 2,000 years ago. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 5 through verse number 7 is a direct quote from the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, these same verses can be found in Psalms chapter 40, and verse number 6 through verse number 8. It is a prophetic word in the book of Psalms foretelling of the coming of the Messiah. It is a direct connection or a direct connected, amen, prophetic word talking about what the Christ would say when he came to planet Earth. Amen. Look at our text again this morning, Hebrews 10, 5. Let's go through it slowly. Pray the Lord open our understanding, Hebrews 10 and 5. And you may be reading a different translation that I'm looking at this morning, but this is what it says in Hebrews 10, starting with that fifth verse. This, the Bible says, that is why Christ said, as he came into the world, O God, the blood of bulls and goats cannot satisfy you. So you have made ready this body of mine for me to lay as a sacrifice upon your altar. You were not satisfied, God the Father, you were not satisfied with animal sacrifices slain and burnt before you as an offering for sin. Then he says in verse 7, then said I, see, I have come to do your will, to lay down my life just as the scripture said that I would. Now, let me just tell you, first of all, this morning, that there is no place in the scripture found, no place in the scripture found where Jesus said these words on earth. There is no place in the Word of God that records Jesus saying these words while he was here on this earth and during his 3.5-year ministry. So when did he say them? Amen. When did he say them? Our text tells us when he says them. The only place that they are recorded is in the Psalms, a prophetic word foretelling what he would say. And then they show up in the book of Hebrews telling us what he did say. But when did he say them? And the text tells us when he said them. This is why Christ said, everybody say, as he came. As he came into this world. This is what he said as he came into this world. This is what Christ, amen, said when he was coming into the world. These were his thoughts. This is what was on his mind as he said those words. Amen. Think about it for a moment. See it happening in your mind on planet Earth. Mary and Joseph are making their way to Bethlehem. Heaven is getting ready to send the Son from heaven to this earth. Amen. Mary and Joseph cannot find any room in the inn, and they bed down in a stable, and Jesus is putting on his overcoat, if you will, ready to step out of heaven's glory and step into this earth. And he turns to the eternal Father and he says to him, oh God, bulls and goats cannot satisfy, so you have made for me a body. You have prepared for me a body. You have created for me a body. Amen. To lay down upon your altar of sacrifice. You were not satisfied. You were not pleased. Amen. The blood of bulls and goats could not justify humanity and could not forgive their sin. And so you prepared a body for me. You have prepared a sacrifice that will cause the justification of God to be satisfied. And he says, see, I have come to do your will or lay down my life. Amen. The King James says, as it is written in the volume of the book. What he's talking about is as it is written in the laws of Moses and throughout the prophets. They all foretold of the coming of the Son of God. Amen. Everything that happened in the covenant, the five books of Moses, amen, that gave them the law. Everything testified about a coming Savior. Everything. everything testified about a coming Redeemer. The prophets foretold of a day, amen, when he would come. Isaiah said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive, and she'll bring forth the son, and call his name Emmanuel. All the whole volume of the book spoke of him. He says, as it is written, I have come to do your will, O God, and lay down my life, just as the scripture said that I would. Christ, amen, when he came to do the will of God. He came, amen, he came to fulfill the word of God. Amen. When he got ready to step down out of the portals of glory, as all of this activity that we know about in Matthew and Luke was taking place, what was on the mind of the Lord, amen, was he turns and says to his Father, you have prepared me a body that I might lay down my life upon the altar of God to be the final sacrifice. So let me tell you, I believe the first thing that was on his mind, amen, was the fact that he had a mission to do for God. He states that he is coming to replace the failed Jewish sacrificial system. Think about that for a moment this morning. He says in verse 5, you did not want sacrifice and offering. Oh God, the blood of bulls and goats could not satisfy. So you have made ready a body for me to lay down as a sacrifice upon your altar. When the Lord began to share this with my spirit and began to put it upon my heart, I could not help but think of how many bulls and how many goats down through the years and down through the decades of time. Because day after day after day after day, morning, noon, and night, they were slaughtering bulls and goats and offering them as a sacrifice for sin. But the blood of the bulls and the goats could never completely remove sin from man. Amen. In fact, if you study the Old Testament word, you will find out that literally it just simply rolled back their sin or covered their sin for a season. And every year the high priest on the great day of atonement would have to go back into the Holy of Holies and offer yet another ram and yet another bullock. Amen. Over and over again, over and over again for the sins of the people, because the blood of bulls and goats could not save them. Look at verse number 4. The blood of bulls and goats was insufficient for the sin of man. Look at verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 10. And this is what it says. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away the sins of the people. Priests in the Old Testament, day after day, oftentimes, the King James says, it literally means almost continually. Amen. They offered sacrifice morning, noon, and night, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, and decade after decade and century after century, they slaughtered innocent animals. And for all of that blood, it was insufficient. It could not remove sin. It could not remove their iniquity. But Jesus came with a purpose in mind, and the thought upon his mind, and the mission in his heart. He came to be the perfect Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. Do you remember when John the Baptist saw him coming down the banks of the Jordan River, and John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What was on the mind of the Lord? He came to do what animal sacrifices could not do. Go on down, if you will, to verse number 11 and look with me at the futility of the animal sacrifices. Verse number 11, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 11. It says, and every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which could never take away sins. But this man, this Jesus, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for the sin, forever sat down at the right hand of God. In verse number 14 says, for by one offering, the offering of himself, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. What does it mean? Let me just tell you. It means that the first thing that was upon his mind as he came into this world, amen, he knew that God was giving him a body that eventually would die on Calvary. He knew that God, the Lord, Father, had prepared, amen, a body for him to inhabit, that he would lay down upon the cross of Calvary, amen, and that he would be the ultimate supreme sacrifice that would not just remove, but he would take away our sin. The Christmas story told by Matthew and Luke were about his birth and the events surrounding his birth. But Christmas in the eye and in the mind of Jesus was all about the cross. It was all about Calvary. Secondly, he says, I have come to do your will. Oh God, what was on his mind when he left the threshold of heaven, stepped down into this mortal world, into a temporal body, amen, to inhabit that body for 33 and a half years. What was on his mind? Amen. He knew that he was coming to be crucified. He knew that he was coming to be the sacrifice. And he knew that he was coming to do the will of God. He said, see, in verse 7, see, I have come to do your will, to lay down my life just as the scriptures have said that I would. The second thing that was on his mind that morning was that day that he was born was that he was coming to do the will and the purpose of God. He knew that this was the plan of God. He knew that this was the will and the purpose for which he would come, that he would be crucified. Amen. Think about that for a moment this morning. He came knowing that he would give his life for our sins, but he came anyway. He came knowing that he would be spat upon, that they would pluck his beard and smite him across the face, but he came anyway. He came knowing that he would be despised and hated and rejected of men, and many would refuse to receive him, but he came anyway. He came knowing that he would be beaten and that he would be scourged and crucified, that they would drive the nails into his feet and into his hands, and that he would die a bloody death upon the cross. Amen. But thank God he came anyway. Why? Because he came with the mindset to do the will of God. Amen. Let me tell you something here this morning, beloved. We need to have that same mindset that we are ready and prepared to do the will of God. He came knowing that he would be the ultimate sacrifice. The Son of God knew all of those things before he ever left heaven. And he came anyway. He came for your sin. He came for my sin. He came that we might have life. Christ came to this earth with a definite purpose, and that purpose was to fulfill the divine will of his God. We know the Christmas story from the shepherd's point of view. We know the Christmas story from Mary's point of view and Joseph's point of view and the wise men's point of view. But I'm here to tell you, amen, there was a point of view that Jesus had when he left heaven and came to this earth that night. He fulfilled the will of God. He fulfilled the plan of God. Amen. The Bible tells us that the book of Luke says in chapter 2 and verse number 11, the angels proclaim, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It boils down to this. What was his side of the story? He came to die. Christmas is nothing without the cross. Hello? Christmas is nothing without the cross. We look at the birth and we celebrate the birth and we celebrate the coming and we celebrate all of the things that happened, amen, in our scriptural text concerning his birth. But I'm here to tell you, he existed long before his birth, and he has a side of the story to tell as well. Amen. Christmas would be nothing without his willingness to die upon the cross. He came as a man, but as God, he died bearing the sins of the world. No one else could have done what Jesus did. No one else was qualified. No one else was worthy. And I dare say no one else was willing. Hello? He came knowing that he would be crucified on our behalf. That was his mindset. That is his side of the story, that I've come, amen, Lord, I've come to do away with the animal sacrifice. I've come to do away with all of the bloodshed. I've come to do away with all of the insufficiency of the animal sacrifices. I will take that body that you have prepared for me, and I will lay that body down upon the altar of God, and that sacrifice will once and for all deal with the sin problem of mankind. The real meaning of Christmas points to the cross. He came to do the will of God. He came to die. Let me give you a few things that he came to do, doing the will of God. Number one, he came as a ransom for many. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 45 that the Son of Man came not to be served, but came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to do the will of God. Amen. It was on his heart and in his mind to call sinners to repentance. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 31, the Bible says that Jesus said unto them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but I am come to call the sinner to repentance. Maybe you are here this morning and you think that you are too bad for him to say, honey, let me tell you, you're the one he came for. You're the one that he came for. Amen. He came to call the sinner, amen, to salvation. He came to call the sinner to righteousness. He came to call the morally blind and give them sight. The Bible says in John chapter 9 and verse number 39, Jesus said, for judgment am I come into the world, that those who do not see may see. I have come as the light of the world, that whoever believes in me might not remain in darkness. If you are here this morning and you are in spiritual darkness, I got good news. He came with the purpose of God in mind, and he gave the ultimate sacrifice that he could call you out of darkness and into his marvelous, wonderful, glorious light. He came to save from divine condemnation. He came to save us from divine condemnation. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse number 17, that God the Father, God sent not his Son, the Word who was with him and in the beginning. Amen. He sent his Son, amen, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He did not come to bring condemnation. Our sin condemns us. Can you say amen? Amen. He did not come to point a pointy finger at us and point out where we have fallen and where we have failed. No, he came to give us life and give it more abundantly. And he paid the price so he could do it. He came to remove divine condemnation because we in our sin were already condemned. Listen to what the Bible says. In John 3 and verse 18, it says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because we are already condemned by our sinful nature. But he came to set us free. He came to give us life. You'll read it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon him, amen, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. His side of the story this morning, while all of these things were taking place on planet Earth and preparation was being made for him to come, and Mary began to feel the first pains of birth and begin to feel the contractions and begin to, amen, get ready to give birth on the other side of heaven. Amen. Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, turned to God the Father and said, I'm coming to do your will, oh God. Amen. And come to do the will of God, he did. Amen. He come to do the will of the Father. And he fulfilled that will all the way to Calvary. He fulfilled that will by going all the way to the cross. And there he laid down his life. And by one offering, as we read in verse 11, verse 12, and verse 13, by one offering, he satisfied, amen, the judgment of God. By one offering, he paid the price. And now he is seated at the right hand of God in heaven this morning. The Bible says, making intercession for you and I. He paid the price. He fulfilled the will of God. And now God the Father stands with his arms open wide and says, because of the sacrifice of my Son, because he fulfilled the mission and the purpose for which I've sent him, whosoever will, let them come and let them take of the water of life freely. It's open to you. It's open to me. And all we have to do this morning is come and receive. The Bible said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Let me just share something with you this morning. Amen. Just because we are all of the human race does not mean that we are all children of God. Some people would like for you to believe that, but that's not what Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches that all who received him, you'll find that in John chapter 1, verse 12. If you haven't received him, you are not his. All who have received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. There's a difference in knowing and knowing who he is. Amen. On a one-on-one individual basis. And there's one thing to be just part of the human race, but it's another thing, amen, to have received God's gift, God's perfect gift, and have that perfect gift of life cause us to have spiritual life and become a child of God. Hello?
Amen. He came this morning. Amen. He came this morning to be the supreme sacrifice for our sin. Christmas means nothing at all without the cross. But thank God he went to Calvary. Thank God he gave his life. Thank God he paid the ultimate sacrifice. Thank God he was willing. Thank God he had the mindset to come and be the supreme sacrifice for you and I. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. The Christmas story, according to Jesus, the Christmas story as told by Jesus. He said, I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming to do your will. I'm coming to take up that body that you have prepared, that I may be the supreme sacrifice for their sin. Let me just tell you this morning that God gave us heaven's best at Christmas. The greatest gift given to humanity is the Christ of the cross. What shall we give him in return? Our heart. Everything that we are, everything that we have within us, we should surrender to his love and to his will. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, we thank you. We thank you for the rest of the story. We thank you that when he came with a divine mission and with divine purpose to lay down his life for us. You gave heaven's best. And this morning, Lord, we desire to give you our heart and all that we are and give you all of us. Touch our hearts here today, I pray. Speak to our spirits, Holy Spirit. Speak to our spirits here this morning. Touch our hearts this morning with your word. Draw us nearer to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there someone here in this place this morning that would be willing to say, Pastor Gary, I realize that he has given to me his best, but I haven't surrendered my heart to him as I should. Are there any hands? You'd slip that hand up. Yes, God sees your hand. God sees the hand. Is there anyone else? Say, Pastor Gary, I realize that heaven gave its very best, but I haven't given my best to the Lord. There's some areas of my life that I need to change. Anybody, you slip up your hand, say, yeah, that's me. Hands all over the building here today. Yes, God sees that hand. God sees that hand. I bless your name, Jesus. I bless your name. This morning, the Lord has laid upon my heart to receive communion. Those of you that lifted your hand, prepare your hearts to receive communion. What does that take? The Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not saved just a little bit, but completely saved. Spend a moment with your head bowed, your eye closed, and just talk to the Lord. Many of you lifted your hands. Say, Lord, cleanse every fiber of my being. Touch every fiber of my heart. Touch my heart here this morning. Don't let me leave like I came. Let me leave changed by the power of the blood that was shed upon Calvary's cross. Let me celebrate Christmas by remembering the crucifixion this morning. Touch every heart, Lord Jesus, touch every heart. I'm gonna ask Brother Steve, Brother Mark, Jim Kern, Brother Chuck, will you gentlemen please come? Pass out our communion. Praise God, praise God. Just take a tray on either side. One of you stand here in the middle of one on the end down there. Just pass it back and forth. There you go. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. This is what was on his mind when he came. Being the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. He came to give his body. He came to give his blood. He came to be crucified for you and I. Let me read some scripture before we partake. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul writes and he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.' And then he asks us to do this in remembrance of me." Would you this morning partake of the body of Christ? Oh, Father, we thank you this morning for the body that was broken, for the body that was bruised on our behalf. Thank you that you took that body that the Lord prepared for you, and you willingly surrendered it as a lamb upon the altar of God for our salvation. Thank you, Jesus. And then Paul says, "And after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, he said, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood.'" Thank God, thank God. His blood was sufficient. And he said, "As oft as you drink it, drink it in remembrance of me." This morning, will you lift the cup to your lips and partake of the blood of the New Testament in Jesus Christ? Praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Just worship him this morning for a moment. Thank him that he is the God of your salvation. Thank him that he came to make us whole. give him praise and give him glory. For the Christmas child and for the cross of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we praise you and we worship you. We give you thanks this morning. We give you praise this morning. Glory, 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 glory. Stand to your feet, if you will, all over the building this morning. Heavenly Father, as we are dismissed from this house of worship, and we are dismissed from one another's presence, go with us, O God. And as we celebrate this Advent season, let us remember that Christmas pointed to the greatest gift that mankind could ever receive. It was through Christ that our greatest need was met. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will bless families as they celebrate together and as they come together to honor you and to recognize the coming of the Lord Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you will touch every heart and every family, minister to every need, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, every need. Let your favor and your grace rest upon them and shine upon them as the noonday sun. Bless them coming in and going out. For all of these things, Lord, we will be eternally grateful, and we will give Christ the praise. And we ask him in his wonderful and in his mighty name. If you are in agreement with that prayer, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love on one another this morning. God bless you.